beginning of 12, it talks about how you need to have Christ, and it's only by the Spirit of God that you're able to say that Jesus is Lord. This is something given to the church for those who believe in Christ and have accepted him. And it's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So yes, it comes through the Spirit, but this is where we tap into that sense that links really quickly and easily. If you have the presence of God amongst you, then you must have love of God in you, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, says that in Romans 5. So when the body of Christ has the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in them, amongst them, then love must be present, because God is love. And so when we want to see the outworkings of these gifts, Paul says the foundation of how these gifts come out and operate is from a foundation of love. Not a foundation of pride, arrogance, not a foundation of I'm better than you, my gift's better than yours, I don't need that gift, but a foundation of love, a love that seeks to serve as Christ did. He's saying this is meant to be the mode of operation of the church, a foundation of love. And so then he just says, well, this is what love's going to look like. And so he says, yeah, there's all these gifts, but if you have all those gifts, but you're operating without the love of God, motivating, driving that as the foundation, as the core, then they're worthless, they're useless. I am nothing, in fact, he says. He says, this is what it looks like. If you want to see love in action, this is what it really looks like. It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy. He goes on in all that midsection there. And this is something I have done when I've preached on this passage sometimes at weddings. I've supplemented. You may have heard me do this. Now, it's not a perfect fit, but it's a pretty good fit. When you supplement the word love in this passage for God, let's see what happens. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God doesn't boast. God's not proud. God doesn't dishonor others. God's not self-seeking. God's not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. Not every single one of those lands exactly right. But you get the picture that these come from God. And it encourages us to know, how does God's love impact our lives? How do we let the manifestation of God's love make its way out in our church community and in the wider community with those whom you serve, those whom you work alongside, those whom you're at school next to, at uni next to, your neighbours, wherever you might find yourself? And at the end of the day, he says, this is the one thing that will continue on through all the ages. In those last sections, in those last verses, he says, look, the gifts are going to pass away. We won't always have prophecy. We won't always have knowledge. We won't always have tongues. They're going to pass away. When we are face to face, when we are complete in him, in all eternity, it's love that will endure forever, where we will be forever in the presence of love, in a perfect love relationship situation between our Heavenly Father and us and him. It's eternal. We have faith now. We won't need faith when we're in eternity with him. We have hope now. We won't need that when we're in eternity with him. Our faith will be our sight. Our hope will be realized. But love still remains. And he finishes with that. The greatest of these is love. It's an enduring characteristic that lasts forever. So that's the context of why this passage comes in here. It's about church. This has to be your modus operandi, the foundation that drives you, your relationship with him, his love in you, being a manifestation of God amongst the people of God. And that's how these gifts will display themselves, through love and service, not self-seeking, not pridefully, but serving others. And so we asked Tim and Nikki to be able to share elements of those things, and then in testimony almost about how it works itself out in our context or in their context to challenge us, to encourage us. So Tim's going to speak first, and then Nikki. And Nikki's got some reflection questions that we'll finish on that will challenge us to think about how we allow the love of God to permeate, resonate, and display itself in our lives. So let me wipe down the mic and get the pulpit, and we'll hand over to Mr. Southcott.
And at home, can you hear me all right now? Yes. Well, I kind of feel a bit like the support act coming after the main event. But like in all things, some of the key things of learning is repetition, so we will not be harmed by hearing things twice and being encouraged twice. So thanks, Tim, for that context and setting us up. And it's great to be able to share with you guys. And hello again at home. Thinking about last week and spiritual gifts, I certainly don't feel like sharing or preaching is something that I definitely have a gifting in, but I'm here and I'm trusting in God to speak through myself, Nikki and Tim, as we always do. It's not about me and my particular gifting, but in love I come to you to share some of the thoughts as I've worked through this passage, and hopefully to be able to allow God's Spirit to challenge, encourage, and hopefully be able to change us to be more like Him through this. So how about I just pray as we look into the Word. Father, we come before You this morning, and we ask You to quieten our hearts, and whatever we may be dwelling on or worrying about or thinking about at the moment, we just ask You to take that and allow us to be able to hear You this morning. Allow You to speak to our hearts and to be able to rebuke us where we need it, to be able to challenge us where we need it, and to be able to point us to Your Son Jesus and how He loved and how You loved us and how we can love each other and the people around us better. So we just pray for Your Word to speak to us this morning, and we thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I mentioned, I've been asked to share some thoughts on this passage and perhaps also give some examples of our service with MAF. After all, some of you may be aware our kind of verse serving with MAF is from 1 John. We love because God first loved us. And I'll touch on that a bit later, but it's appropriate. We're thinking about love this morning. And as we go through it, the context has already been covered, and it finishes from chapter 12. And now I will show you the most excellent way. And so we were thinking of the way of love. I haven't gone into a great lot of detail, an in-depth exegesis, as it were. Some of you might be amused. I went to Bible college, but before then, I didn't actually know what the term exegesis actually meant. I actually, in my ignorance, thought it meant something to do with exalting Jesus, exo-Jesus. I'm not sure if any of you are as silly as me, but anyway, a bit of amusement for you there. But we're going to go through the passage, and as I was going through it, kind of three sections came out to me in summary. The first one being, actions without love are eternally meaningless. And then the second part, as we go through what love is, and true love is perfect, isn't it? It's the agape love that we're looking at. God is love, and true love is perfect. And then in the third section, perfect love is coming. We're kind of in the mist, as it were. We're looking in a reflection, we kind of know, but in the future we will know in full. So perfect love is coming. So those are the three kind of sections as we go through it. And when I like to look at passages, I spend a bit of time. I like to read different translations as well. And one of them was the Message, which I found kind of helpful. So I'll actually read through the Message part, the Message translation as we go through this. If you have that, you can pull it up, but It's the same kind of lines, just slightly different language. It helps give a little bit of a different twist on things. So the first section, actions without love are eternally meaningless. I'll read from the message. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. I don't know about you guys, but when I was looking at this in the way of love, it turned my thoughts to the royal wedding. And it's interesting that Tim mentioned this passage is often brought out at weddings. I'm not sure if you remember the royal wedding. Now, I don't follow it, but I kind of, it was Harry and Meghan, wasn't it? And do you remember the pastor that shared at that wedding? And he certainly, he fit the bill of someone who was engaging and charismatic. And I guess if we look at the passage, he spoke with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy. And I was interested in some of the things he said. And I'll read them out, just a few of the things that he said about love is the way. So you can imagine him speaking, not myself. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields by the riverside and study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all of God's children. And because when love is the way, we actually treat each other, well, like we're actually family. And we could think about that minister's passage as a whole. He could be accused of kind of preaching a Christianity light version. But I don't want to get into that at this stage. But thinking about when love is in the way, when our love is the bedrock, as Tim mentioned, what flows out of that, our actions, how our church, how we serve and love our community and the people around us and our brothers and sisters internally. When love is the way, we see all sorts of good come from it, don't we? However, also, even if that pastor is able to speak like he did, if his actions and his life is without love, then it's all meaningless, isn't it? Like the creaking of a rusty gate. And so I'm also convicted of that as well, speaking to you this morning, because as I mentioned, that second point, perfect love, isn't it? I'm certainly not perfect. I'm certainly not able to live up to that perfect standard of agape love, yet I'm here speaking this morning, so I feel a bit of that tension. And of course, that's the reality. None of us live up to God's standard, but here we are. So some of the thoughts I had out of that as well, as we think about coming to church even, or practicing religion, if we don't have love, what good is it? If I'm grumpy and short with my family because I want to do some last-minute sermon prep, what good is it? What is the point? It's meaningless if we're not living in love. And I was also thinking it's about authenticity, isn't it? It's this love. It's an authentic love, agape love. We can't fake it, and it comes from God, doesn't it? God is love. We've touched on that already. And also, as Tim mentioned, in reference to gifts, because this is what the context is. It's love is how we go about serving each other and how we use our gifts. And yeah, if we're using our gifts without love, it's meaningless. So I've been challenged to think about that. In my role as a pilot as well, some of you may get our newsletter, and I shared a little bit of a reflection on dealing with medevac patients and being a pilot. And it's challenging for me to remember, am I just another foreigner flying an aeroplane over in East Timor? Or is there something more behind what I'm doing? And I'd like to say, yes, there is, but sometimes the reality is we all fall short, don't we? So I am rebuked at times by reading this passage, and I think about actions and acts of service even. Am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Is it action out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? But in the end of the day, we've all got to allow God's Spirit to work in our hearts, don't we? And allow love to flow in our actions. So then on to the second part. True love is perfect, and we have this good list of what things love is and isn't. And yeah, we should aim high, don't we? We have this benchmark set. And as Tim's already done, he put the word God in front of love. And I was wondering, have we ever tried putting our own names in replace of love and how that would sound? How hopefully it wouldn't sound too incredibly far-fetched. Some of them it might, for some of us. But, and at the end of the day, though, especially when it gets to the always parts at the end of there, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. None of us can put our name to always. So anyway, let's go through it in the message. I'll read out the list and we'll, yeah, see if any of them speak to us as we go through. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It's an interesting one in our day and age, consumerism. Love doesn't strut. I'm not sure any of us are really guilty of strutting. But when we think about possibly social media, things that we post or a perception of ourselves that we like to give out could kind of be described as strutting. It's pride. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. So I'm sure some of those resonate more than others, some of us. None of us can put our names to this entire list, can we? And there's also, as I was thinking about this, there's also the subtle ways as well which we fall short and do not show love, and things that I'm guilty of where we, like, there's the subtle things, the passive-aggressive or insincere comments. Or even when we want to be seen to be serving others, but actually we're trying to serve our own interests. That's not loving. It's not coming from a place of love, is it? The other thing I love about this passage is love is a verb, isn't it? Love is an action. I don't know about any of you. Would you remember the band DC Talk? The Christian band DC Talk from the 90s. When I was 11 years old, I got my first CD, a DC Talk CD, and my favorite song, this idea resonated with me even from a young boy, Love is a Verb. Anna suggested that I rap it for you. The YouTube video was just too cringy. I wasn't going to show that. So I'm not going to do that either. But the essential lyrics were, love is a verb. It's an action. It's something that we can't just talk about, is it? We can't just talk about love. We can't just say, yeah, I believe love. Yeah, love is good. If we don't show it, if we don't live it, if we don't have love in action, we're deceiving ourselves, and very often we're not fooling anyone else either. As much as we'd like to sometimes. Authentic love. It requires action. And again, it requires God to work in our hearts, doesn't it? We can't do this. We can't display agape love in our own strength. So I'm challenged again for God to work in my heart, to be more like his son. And then in verses 8 to 12, the third section, perfect love is coming. And I'll read that from the message as well. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be cancelled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. In thinking about Tim speaking this morning about how we're a little bit disconnected, you in Zoom land will be seeing me in part, as it were. But we look forward to the day when we are all together again and seeing each other in full, embracing each other. And it's the same thing here. We live looking forward to God's love being complete, us being united with him. And the thoughts too that Tim already shared about how in heaven, hope and faith will be no more, but love remains. We will have that love. And the greatest of these is love. And that made me also think about the sum of the commandments as well that Jesus spoke of. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. All the law hangs on these things. That's from Matthew 22:37. That's another great bedrock, as it were, foundation. Love the Lord your God and love others as yourself. So those were the three sections that I went through. Actions without love are eternally meaningless. True love is perfect. Let's aim high, but recognize we do fall short. And perfect love is coming, and we look forward to when we'll all be made right. And there's that gospel message in those three, isn't there? Now, I just wanted to also continue just briefly. Like I mentioned, I like to read other translations, and one of them that I read was the King James Version, and I was really struck. I don't know if you guys have read it, but The word that they use instead of love in the King James Version is charity. Instead of love for the whole passage is charity. I was like, what's going on here? I obviously don't understand the word charity like the writers did back then. Old English used the word charity, and that's definitely the case. Charity has its roots in describing agape love, and also the command of God to love God and to love others. That's where this root charity in the Old English comes from. It's love in action. Now, I thought that was really interesting. But again, thinking about how we use the word charity, and I work for a charity, in a sense, MAF, and we're there. We're trying to show love in action, trying to show God's love in action. As I mentioned, our verse is, we love because God first loved us. That's kind of our mission statement and summary and reason why we're doing what we're doing, and the reason why all of us are able to do what we do. We have God's love. We have this list, and we have the love that God has shown us, and through that, we are able to love others, and we aim to love others in the same way. Sometimes it's difficult, though, isn't it, to do that? And thinking about some of the challenges I have flying medevacs, as I mentioned in the newsletter, there's a desire to show that I care, to show that I'm more than just a foreign pilot, and to show that I actually care for the well-being of these people who are in a great distress or very sick in a great time of need. And it's difficult sometimes. We entrust that to God. Other times where I find it difficult to show love is when there's motorbikes on the runway when I'm trying to land, or cheeky kids trying to touch my aeroplane, or throwing rocks at me. There's one of the pilots before me. He said, oh, I just pick up a rock and throw it back at them. And I was like, oh. I'm not sure about that. How am I showing love to these people through, it comes down to our day-to-day interactions, doesn't it? We've got road users, bankers, and beggars that I'm interacting with as well. How am I showing love in these day-to-day interactions? I think we'll be challenged to think a bit more of this as well in a moment with Nikki. And obviously, in our own families, is one of the primary places that we have an opportunity to show agape love with our spouse, our brothers and sisters, parents, with children. I've just, 2 days ago, had the privilege of being able to get a real good sense of agape love from my son William, rebelling against me. It was brutal in a sense, emotional in many ways. Seeing my beautiful little boy, who I have to put in his bed because he's done something wrong, and he's yelling and screaming at me and trying to hit me, and saying, "I want to hurt you. I'm the boss. I do what I want." And it's heartbreaking in a sense, thinking that's exactly what we do to God, and what we have done, and what we continue to do. But thinking about the beautiful love that God has for us in that moment, and the opportunity I have to share that with my son, it's hard sometimes. But then that's the power and beauty of God's love for us. It's sometimes it's easy to love those who love us as well, but it's often much harder to love those who are difficult to love, who we don't like. And I was also challenged to think about that as well. And one example from our time in Timor, where I found it very hard to love and forgive, was when we had people break into our house, or not actually into the house, but they jumped over the fence into our little compound during the night and were trying to steal stuff. And yeah, that was a very difficult thing to process. Of we're here, seemingly, we thought, it's a good thing we're here. We're here to love and look after, or not look after, but love and care for and hopefully impact this community, the people that we're living in. And it was brutal to have that kind of undermined, where we had people breaking in, and there were a whole bunch of other safety-related things. But that was something I really had to wrestle with. How do I forgive and how do I love the locals again after that? And that's something that I had to really wrestle with and allow God to work in me to give me the peace to be able to forgive, and then the heart to be able to love. Because that's what agape is, isn't it? It's not loving those who are easy to love, loving to get something in return. And that's what we're all called to and what God has done for us. And so some of those challenges, how do I fall short and where am I acting without love? Am I loving authentically? And how can I show love to someone that I don't like? And it's a great passage to go through, isn't it, and to read. And there's a good reason that it's read out at weddings. And the way of love, wouldn't it be beautiful if we all were able to live a little bit more in the way of love? So I think I'll end it there and invite Nikki up to share with us as well. Thanks, guys.